This is People in the Know, a weekday forum for in-depth coverage of the news shaping China, the world, and your life.
Technology giant Apple recently made headlines with the news that its operations in China are now effectively carbon neutral. This development is thanks to the construction of solar energy projects in China's Sichuan province. The news comes just as China's National Environmental Watchdog begins a strategic environmental impact assessment, aiming to more effectively prevent pollution in the country's three biggest industrial zones. So are big businesses turning green? What technological progress is being made in the field of renewable energy? And what is China doing to improve its environmental record? Ni hao, you're listening to People in the Know, presenting you with insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Nick Lanigan in Beijing. In today's program, we are joined by Dr. Hao Tan, Senior Lecturer in International Business at the University of Newcastle in Australia.
Dr. Tan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
As we're discussing this recent announcement by Apple that its offices and retail outlets in China are now carbon neutral, just to begin with, could you briefly explain what do we mean by the term carbon neutral and what does it mean in practice?
Sure. Carbon neutrality refers to a situation where an organization, a company, or an industry, or any organization achieve a net zero carbon emissions. In Apple's case, according to its announcement itself, presumably the solar panel installed by the company generates more electricity than what the company needs in its operation by its offices and retail store in China. As we know, solar-based electricity compared with fossil fuel-based electricity generates little carbon emission. So in that sense, the company claims its operation in China does not cause any additional carbon emissions to the atmosphere. So that's what Apple claims as carbon neutrality.
Mm. Okay, so to put this into some context, how has renewable energy in general developed in China over the past few years?
Actually, very impressive. For example, in the area of wind power, the wind power generation in China has grown five times since 2010. And the growth rate of solar power generation is even more impressive because it starts from a very low level. So since 2010, the solar power generation has increased over 30 times in the period between 2010 and 2014. So it's very impressive. And more impressively, actually, China is now the largest manufacturer for many renewable energy-related devices, for example, wind turbine and the solar panels. And in 2014, according to some reports, China invested about $19 billion in the clean energy sector, which is well ahead of any other countries.
Well, that certainly is very impressive. So to come back more to Apple's announcement, obviously this is going to be something that will be very welcomed by environmental groups. But it should be pointed out that so far the company's supply chain, which is largely third parties, is not included in the list of operations which are carbon neutral. And so by some estimates, Apple's supply chain uses up to 60 times as much power as its own operations. So how meaningful do you think this new statement is? Is it perhaps less impressive than it might seem at first glance?
Yes and no. You are certainly right. Apple, compared with its manufacturing partners, it consumes much less energy because, as we know, Apple now is pretty much focused on activities like design, R&D, marketing, and so on. But its manufacturing partners actually consume much more energy. So I think it's much more challenging to drive its manufacturing partner like Foxconn towards this direction. But as we see in Apple's announcement, Apple actually is doing something about it. So I think given Apple's market status, its power, bargain power with its supplier, I think it's very likely Apple can drive this move towards this direction.
So you think that a carbon neutral supply chain is also something that could be achieved in the future?
I think it's likely, but I think it's going to take much longer than carbon neutrality achieved by Apple itself.
Well, coming back to maybe the business motives that might be behind this, do you think that announcements such as this one from Apple maybe affect their brand reputation among consumers and maybe could increase their performance and their success among consumers? Do you think there are just environmental concerns here, or are there also business concerns?
Well, I think it certainly have positive effects on its brand, the reputation. But I wouldn't read too much about this announcement in terms of its business motives. As we know, Apple is one of the most profitable company in the world. Mm. And I actually believe this, you know, the company chose to do so because the company believes this is the right thing to do. It's because of its own value. As we know, Apple always puts itself out as innovative, progressive, environmentally friendly company. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really derived from its own value and derived from what the company believes in. But in the long term, absolutely, I think it's going to fit in to its financial performance, and I believe it's going to have a positive effects on its business reputation and its financial performance.
Hmm. So more broadly within China, reports from Greenpeace have shown that in many Chinese cities, the pollution levels in the first 6 months of this year compared to last year actually improved, although they were still higher than recommended. So are movements such as this to introduce renewable energy sources within big companies contributing to that, do you think?
I think so. I think certainly the takeoff of the renewable energy, whether it's driven by individual company like Apple or by the state, it certainly plays a very important role. And it's, in fact, as I said, a part of a larger picture where we believe China is undertaking so-called energy transition. So as we see in last year and the first several months in this year, coal has declined, and many pollution-intensive coal power plants and other manufacturer has been closed, and the environment law has been reinforced. And so I think this all related together, and of course, the Chinese economy itself is adjusting, so the structure change is on the way. Mm. So all those contribute to the observation you just mentioned.
Mm, and then looking to a more international perspective, you already mentioned that China is investing very impressive sums of money into the renewable energy industries. How is China comparing to other countries in this field?
I think China is leading the way. If we put all the renewable energy, major renewable energy sources together, like hydroelectricity, wind and power, China is far ahead of any other country. In the area of wind power, China only behind the US. In the area of solar power, in the past several years, China was only behind Germany. But this year, many expect China is going to overtake Germany and become the number one solar power user in the world.
Mm. And of course, this is becoming a much more relevant topic as the climate conference in Paris later this year approaches. So how do you think announcements such as this from large companies such as Apple could influence things? Do you think that China's position will be strengthened by this?
I think individual companies, they can do their bit on this, especially a company like Apple, as we just discussed. Mm. Apple has this market power, and the company is going to, as I see it, make a direct as well as indirect impact. Directly, as we said, Apple is going to drive its supply chain towards a cleaner and greener energy supply. And indirectly, the step and the gesture by a company like Apple will have some influence on the consumer and on other multinational companies and even domestic companies, given Apple and its products has, you know, become a fashion and very popular among Chinese consumers, especially the emerging middle-class Chinese consumers. But we have to also bear in mind China has such a massive energy system. So the individual companies' move will contribute, but it has to be a joint effort by enterprises, by the state, by NGO, and all parties involved. But I have to, you know, emphasize that enterprise, commercial enterprises, will play a very important role because they have a resource and they have a power. So I really believe those multinational companies can play a very important role in this front.
Mm. Well, as you just mentioned, of course, the authorities and the governments also have a role to play here. So during President Xi's recent visit to the United States, the two countries described their joint statement on climate change as ambitious. So with regard, again, to the Paris conference, how likely do you think it is that China will commit to climate goals which could make a genuine global difference and then achieve them?
In my view, I think the targets that China has announced is very likely to be achieved, given the track record of China in this area. In fact, many targets in regards to renewable energy in China specifically have been consistently exceeded in the last several years. So I do have a confidence that those targets, even though they are very challenging, I believe that those can be achieved by China. And actually, before those announcements, we already seen lots of discussions and research by Chinese government agency and research institutes. So I'm confident they put those targets very carefully and very seriously.
Mm. Dr. Tan, thanks so much for joining the program.
It's very good to talk to you.
That was Dr. Hao Tan, Senior Lecturer in International Business at the University of Newcastle in Australia. Our discussion continues right after this.
What's happening in China?
What's happening in China?
What's happening in the world?
What's happening in the world?
People in the know. The in-depth current affairs show with insights on the news that shapes China and the world. People in the Know helps you to know the world better.
Ni hao, you're listening to People in the Know, presenting you with insights into the headline news in China and around the world. I'm Nick Lanigan. On today's program, we are discussing renewable energy, after the technology giant Apple announced that its operations in China are now carbon neutral. We're now joined by Liu Hong, Renewable Energy Program Director at Energy Foundation China.
Ms. Liu, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So internationally, obviously, there are these images that China is a highly polluting country. Do you think this is an accurate perception? And could headlines such as the announcement that we're discussing today, do you think, help to shift views like this?
I think China's air pollution is already a well-known issue, and awareness of the general public has significantly improved since China started to monitor PM2.5 and air quality information. But at the same time, China has also been making serious efforts to improve the air quality through increasing energy use efficiency and expanding the utilization of renewable energy to replace fossil fuel, which is a major source of air pollution for China. So for example, in the renewable energy industry, China has made remarkable achievements over the past 10 years. For example, China promulgated the renewable energy law and issued the feed-in tariff policies for wind and solar and established the renewable energy development fund, which have become the key drivers for renewable energy development in China.
Mm. Well, you mentioned solar energy there. Coming more specifically onto that now, in many countries around the world with solar panels, it's maybe a smaller thing with a solar panel on a roof of a house or on the side of a building. In China, there's these huge installations of fields of solar panels on an industrial scale, which are, relatively speaking, a more common sight. So how do you explain this different methodology when it comes to the technology?
It is true that in China, large-scale open-field PV stations is taking the bulk share of the total PV installation.
Mm.
This is mainly determined by the solar and land resource conditions of China. In European countries, there's not very much cheap land space in the open field for PV installation, but there are a lot of low-floor residential buildings that are applicable for installing PV panels. But in China, we have a huge amount of waste land or desert in the far west, which do not have high economic value, but are ideal for PV installation. And also China's best solar resource is also mainly distributed in the northwest, which is pretty consistent with the availability of the land resource. This is why China's solar power development has been dominated by utility-scale PV stations. But it is also true that from the economic point of view, rooftop PV could save a lot of transmission and distribution cost and requires less government subsidy for supporting the same amount of PV power generation. In fact, the government has already realized the issue and has been giving a lot of emphasis to rooftop PV in the recent couple of years. For example, NDRC issued price subsidy for rooftop PV, and NEA launched a demonstration program that required grid companies to improve grid interconnection service for rooftop solar. And also there is a huge potential for rooftop PV in China. We already have some studies showing that rooftop PV has a potential for reaching over 300 gigawatts by 2050. But currently, since solar rooftop PV is still in its early stage of development, there are still a lot of barriers. For example, the lack of financing, the lack of successful business model, and the lack of incentives from the grid side. But going forward, I think as China gradually removes those barriers, I believe rooftop PV will see robust growth in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, as you mentioned there, the largest areas where there is availability for the large-scale solar installations are in the northwest, but obviously China's main cities are famously in the east. So are there any problems with transporting the energy from one place to another?
Currently, this is a big issue for wind and solar too. For example, in the first half of 2015, wind power has seen a curtailment 15% at a national average. And in some provinces, this is much worse. For example, in West Inner Mongolia, wind curtailment rate is as high as 20% in the first half of 2015. And Gansu province, 31%. Solar has also seen large-scale curtailment.
So this is where the energy produced by the renewable energy sources can't be transported efficiently to the end users?
Actually, there are many factors that contribute to the curtailment. Lack of transmission is one of them, okay. And there are also other issues. For example, the lack of flexible generation to balance the variability of wind and solar power. The existing power dispatch and operation rule does no longer fit the new power structure that has increasing amount of variable generation like wind and solar. And the overcapacity of power generation in many provinces resulted from the orderless capacity growth in the economic and electricity demand slowdown period. So to address the curtailment issue, we need to really work on three key things. Mm-hmm. The first one is to improve power planning. We need to adopt an integrated power system planning approach, which considers the improvement of energy use efficiency, considers the potential of distributed generation, considers the coordination between generation expansion and transmission expansion, considers the coordination between wind, solar expansion, and other generation expansion. Mm-hmm. China needs to have a more flexible system in order to accommodate high shares of variable renewable power. Second, we need to reform the dispatch rule. The current rule is an equal share dispatch, which based on annual generation plan assigns equal generation hours for the generation units of the same type. Even though wind and solar also assigned certain generation hours in the annual generation plan, but due to the variability of wind and solar generation and the difficulties to accurately focus wind and power generation a year ahead, the assigned generation hours for wind and solar are actually much smaller than they are able to generate if they are given real priority in a day-ahead and real-time dispatch. The third point is China needs to reform power pricing mechanism and establish market mechanisms. for example, went to develop more dynamic pricing so that electricity users could have incentives to shift the load to different time periods in order to cope with the up and down of wind and solar generation. We also need to develop a more effective ancillary service pricing mechanism so that more flexible generation like gas power or pump hydropower could be built to provide a balance. Or existing coal power could have more incentives to move up and down to provide ancillary service needed. So in the long run, China has a clear goal to establish a power market in which all power sources will bid into the market based on marginal generation cost to determine how much and when a power plant will generate power. So I believe in that case, wind and solar will no doubt be dispatched first due to its close to zero marginal cost of generation. So these are the main issues that are key to reduce wind and solar curtailment and help achieve a high renewable penetration scenario in China. Energy Foundation China has been making great efforts to support studies and build the field capacity to address these issues. And we will continue to have this as one of our key working areas in the years ahead.
You mentioned there are a lot of the factors that China needs to take into account when developing its domestic renewable energy market, but also internationally, as one of the leading manufacturers of renewable energy technology. Many people believe that China could have a big role to play in supporting, for example, developing countries, such as in many African nations, where renewable energy also could provide vital tools in their development. What's your take on this? What do you think China's role is in this development?
I think China plays a leading role in renewable energy development, and this has largely reduced the cost of wind and solar PV for the whole world. For example, from 2000 to 2015, PV cost had reduced by 90%. This is huge.
Mm.
But that means China's market growth and the development of manufacturing industry has benefited hugely to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the cost reduction, China can also export the renewable energy technology and products. China has also accumulated a strong human resource through the domestic market. So I think China can also provide assistance in terms of training in this area.
Okay, and so looking forwards, I mean, you mentioned many plans that China will implement renewable energy on a much wider scale. But do you think looking into the more distant future now, do you think that one day renewable energy might overtake all other kinds and become the only energy sources that we use? Will we be a completely carbon neutral society?
Right now, grid integration and wind and solar curtailment has been the major barrier for renewable energy development. If we can remove those barriers through the major approaches that I just mentioned, according to our 2050 High Renewable Energy Penetration Study, it is both technically and economically feasible for renewable energy to become a major supply of power and energy by 2050. Our study shows that renewable energy can account for 86% of China's total power supply and 60% of China's total energy supply by 2050. So by that time, it will help restore China's environment back to the 1980s level. I think, as I said, there are still a lot of barriers for implement such a scenario. So the government has already determined to come up with real actions, including implementing green dispatch and control coal consumption. So I believe China will accelerate the pace of replacing coal with renewable power like wind and solar.
Well, Ms. Liu, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That was Liu Hong, Renewable Energy Program Director at Energy Foundation China. With that, we wrap up this edition of People in the Know. Questions or comments for us can be sent to pik@cri.com.cn. I'm Nick Lanigan, and on behalf of the rest of the team, thanks for joining us. Make sure to tune in at the same time tomorrow for another edition of People in the Know.